Most mornings I spend about an hour holding prayers like this one on my heart and praying the daily office of morning prayer, sitting with the daily scriptures, holding up those who have asked for prayer, and praying my way each day through our cathedral membership list. I pray fervently for the strength and will to work with our God to bring justice, mercy, equity, and love to those marginalized in our society. I pray for God's wisdom that I might be an instrument of God's love. And I succeed and I fail. And I work at learning that there are no failures, only learnings. And I try again the next day, beginning again in prayer and word. I believe that Maya Angelou got it right when she said, "We can only try to be a Christian." She once said, "I'm working at trying to be a Christian, and that's serious business. It's not something where you think, oh, I've got it down. I did it all day, hot diggity." The truth is, all day long, you try to do it, try to be it. And then in the evening, if you're honest and have a little courage, you look at yourself and say, well, I only blew it 46 times. Not bad. I'm trying to be a Christian. I've learned in my morning routine that I need prayer to center my being. I used to pray right when I got up, and then I would catch up with the news, listening to NPR, spending some time with the New York Times, and now the St. Louis American and Post-Dispatch. Lately, I have shifted that routine. I first catch up on news and then engage my morning prayers, followed by a few daily reflections from various sources. I find most days I need recentering after I catch up on the news. Every day I seek Christ. I look for where God is at work and try to be a Christian with God's help. My friends, the news these days can bring despair that threatens our hope. And yet I have witnessed time and time again the God of love, justice, and mercy wrestling light from the darkest spaces. Bishop Stephen Charleston wrote, "We have all been to the dark places, that shadow land just next door to what we call reality, where clarity is lost and doubt dwells, where we are uncertain what tomorrow will bring, if tomorrow will come at all. The dark places can appear slowly or suddenly, but either way, they cover us in a fog of doubt, leaving us feeling despair. It is at this moment that faith becomes our compass, for it reminds us that darkness is only a detour, never a destination. These small corners are not the landscape of our life. They cannot contain the power of love. We have only to listen to our heart. Then the Spirit calls for us until we find our way out of the dead end of worry and back to the broad and bright streets of hope." In these last few days, I have heard that Spirit of God in every voice, standing in love and solidarity with our trans sisters and brothers, not letting one of God's beautiful, beloved children be marginalized or erased, standing with our Jewish brothers and sisters in Pittsburgh and around the country, not letting these beloved children be marginalized or erased. We recognize the divine in every beautiful person, and we see you. I was proud to be an Episcopalian this week as Matthew Shepard's cremains were received in the love of Christ at the Cathedral Church of St. Peter and St. Paul in the City and Diocese of Washington, D.C., where, as Bishop Robinson said through tears, he was welcomed home. "Welcome home, Matt. You are safe now. Gently rest in this place. Light and hope out of darkness." I was thinking of all this as I pondered today's story of Bartimaeus in Mark's Gospel. This section of Mark's Gospel began with the healing of an anonymous blind man. And today concludes with the healing of blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is the only person healed by Jesus who is called by name in Mark. Of the three Gospels that report this incident, Mark alone tells us the name of the blind man, Bartimaeus. One commentator made a point of remarking that the vast majority of people whom Jesus healed are anonymous. In fact, basically all of them are unnamed. Yet here we have a name. Bartimaeus' memory is preserved through time for us. In fact, we even learn his father's name. He was the son of Timaeus. It reminds us that the people Jesus healed were human beings, not just some sort of symbol of the condition, illness, or disease that plagued them. The poor, impoverished, unhoused, afflicted, addicted, vulnerable, oppressed, that society seems bent on dismissing, forgetting, erasing, were and are people with feelings, with a family history, with the imprint of God's love upon them. It is important that as I strive each day to be a Christian, that I am reminded that the poor, unhoused, the refugee, immigrant, and disenfranchised to whom we are called to love and care are not tropes, not broad and faceless socioeconomic categories about whom to talk in the abstract, to dismiss or treat as less than human. These are people that bear the image of God just like we do, every one of them. My faith calls me to want to learn their names, to hear their stories, to see the presence of divinity, of God in them. And it calls me to do all I can to see their need for safety, love, acceptance, mercy, shelter, and the necessities of life, and to get those needs met somehow, some way. It's not mine to judge circumstances or choices. It is my call to shine the light of God's love so that every human being regains their humanity and knows just how beloved of God they are. There are days I confess that the immediate parts of my job, yep, my church job, and my efforts to get what is on my schedule done get in the way of compassion. And it's on those days in my evening prayers that I ask my Lord and Savior for forgiveness and the renewal of heart and mind for the call to light, love, and compassion before anything else. In this place in Mark's gospel, Jesus and his followers are leaving the city of Jericho, and they're now making their way to Jerusalem. Jesus seems to be using this encounter on their way out of Jericho to confront not only the physical blindness of Bartimaeus, but the spiritual blindness of his closest followers, who have failed to grasp the reversal of what the kingdom of God looks like in comparison to the world's view. Scriptural commentator Cynthia Jarvis writes this about what happens next. In spite of how Jesus has just finished telling the disciples in last week's passage from Mark that the first must become last and the last first, Mark reports no contrary voice to the many, to the crowd following Jesus, who sternly order Bartimaeus to be quiet. They're embarrassed by him. And only when Jesus himself orders the crowd to call him here does the crowd feign pious hospitality, saying, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." Jesus' inattention to the crowd is noteworthy. Other than commanding them to call the blind beggar to his side, he simply lets them be. He does not upbraid them for their blindness to human need, nor does he call their faithfulness into question. Rather, in his command to call him here, he is also commanding the gathering crowd to become the disciples they would not be without the very specific act of obedience. Given that in Jesus the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, those who simply want to be near him will find themselves in the company his love commands them to keep. Jarvis goes on, those who are trying to be faithful today, to be a Christian, as leaders ordained and lay, as the faithful people of God, must command the church in Christ's name to be the church. Following Jesus, it is not our call to scold those who have no idea what they want or should want Jesus to do for them, nor call their faithfulness into question. Rather, as we call the community to pay attention to and attend to the cries of others for mercy, whether the other is as distant as the Sudan or Honduras, or as close as our front steps, we are called to gather around what God is doing in the world. As Paul Lehman writes in Ethics in a Christian Context, to make and keep human life human. The cry of need that caused Bartimaeus to be shunned by many becomes the occasion for their glimpse of God's final intention for all humankind. And this glimpse is for us too. This is a glimpse of how God wrestles light from darkness by turning our attention from the judgment, fear of the other, and evil hatred of this atmosphere we live in right now toward the intentions of God's love for all of us. How we respond to the one right in front of us and the ones that hate continues to dismiss, abuse, oppress, and kill are much more deeply connected than we want to allow or dare to think. We see far too often, as we saw yet again yesterday, that hateful rhetoric leads to the rejection of whole groups of humanity, including murder after murder of those that come to be the victims of such hatred, as the horrible murders of Jewish people gathered on a happy occasion in their synagogue in Pittsburgh. And if we dare listen to Scripture, its connection to the regular rejection of those we deem unworthy of the very privileges, justices, and mercies we lay claim to daily. The persistence of Bartimaeus sets in motion a wave of mercy and blessing and change of heart. Bartimaeus calls out to Jesus for mercy, and Jesus calls for him. Those around Jesus call him to Jesus. His breakthrough of mercy begins with the recognition that those who once barked at him not to bother Jesus are now transformed. They are no longer speaking sternly to him. Indeed, you can feel their excitement. It's palpable. Take heart. Cheer up. Get up. Get on your feet. He's calling you. They have become witnesses to and vessels of God's mercy. Bartimaeus throws off his precious cloak, all he had, and follows Jesus. A new life has begun, a life in which he knows that he's loved. He knows his humanity. And he knows that his humanity is finally seen by those who had physical sight, but no spiritual sight. I come here to be with you week by week to encounter God in you and among you and in our midst and out there. When I can see and hear God in the people God puts in front of me to love, then hatred will turn to hope, and humanity will be restored to all that God yearns for it to be. I'm trying to be a Christian, and I am sure that God needs me to be a vessel of love and light, so that every person will be loved for who they are, beautifully made to be. I pray God help me hear and believe and respond to the words of Jesus for my life as a Christian and for every life. Go, your faith has made you well. Go, your faith will heal us. Go, your faith will make us all whole. Amen.